With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Yeah, I felt like I had a first down there, and when I didn't, I just felt like we didn't have a great play there for the fourth down at that point in time. So I felt like it was better to kick the three, but that's, very fair question. But I felt like it was just better to kick the field goal there.
All right, Dusty Baker had his Bill O'Brien didn't have a play moment yesterday. He cost the team a game. You just heard Bill O'Brien. You're going to hear him at 4 o'clock. On Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley, along with Jack Easterby, their first media availability in a while. I'm intrigued by this for many reasons. The obvious, Texans Chiefs in 6 weeks, J-Lo. And we're going to get to hear from Jack Easterby for the first time in a while. The same Jack Easterby who 2 days ago laid this quote on us. When lost on what to do, do the next right thing. We found out it was actually from Frozen 2.
Just do the next right thing.
Will there be Frozen 2 quotes from Jack Easterby? 713-572-4610.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. I'm just excited that it's both of them available. Bill O'Brien, we know, is going to make himself available on a regular basis. Jack Easterby has not. And, he's spoken, but I'm saying on a regular basis. So this is going to be good, especially because just everything they're doing, there's going to be a lot of questions about, is anybody opting in? Is anybody opting out? Is anybody opting out? Is anybody facing injury problems? I'm talking about personnel type questions. How are they going to implement practices and all that? It's going to be. I hope it's a good meaty long, availability because there's a lot to cover.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to cover. You'll hear Bill O'Brien 4 o'clock. We hear Dusty Baker all the time, and he's available. And quite honestly, I wish he wouldn't have been yesterday. Because Dusty Baker cost the Astros the game. Like, Dusty Baker ruined a great performance by Christian Javier in his first big league start. He ruined a great performance out of the bullpen. He ruined an opportunity to really stick it to the Dodgers without retaliating. Let's just go through the biggest mistakes Dusty Baker made, and it was something that he had actually talked about before, J-Lo. This was Dusty Baker with Adam Spillane before the season started, back and forth about the strategy that he was going to face eventually with the new extra inning rule where a runner starts out on second base with no outs each time a team comes to the plate.
Have you guys talked about how you might handle it at the beginning of the inning? Would you bunt with the guy at second base or would you just play things out?
Well, possibly. It depends on who's coming up. That's just like kicking a field goal and, in football, when they get the ball last, they can score a touchdown. So they can score, two runs and beat you, even though you score a run. So you might do it as a home team, but you probably wouldn't do it, I don't think, as the visiting team.
There you go, Dusty. So I was
fired
up yesterday.
At home?
I was fired up. They were at home. You heard him right there. He said it's different when you're going for the W. And Dusty Baker, I'll be damned if in the 10th inning, Roberto Osuna didn't go back out there. And we were going to see if Dusty was going to practice what he preached. Bottom of the 10th, J-Lo, Kyle Tucker gets to start out on second base. That means the heart of the lineup is up. Jose Altuve.
Bregman Brantley.
Altuve, who bunts effectively 51% of the time, 26 bunt hits in his career at the plate. Oh, by the way, he's hitting 174, too. So this might be a good time to bunt him over. The OG John Lopez said that would have been his strategy all of the time. However, No bunt from Dusty. No bunts. Jose Altuve strikes out swinging. Alex Bregman walked intentionally. And then Michael F. and Brantley grounds into a double play. Felt like all was lost. But I'll be damned, John Lopez. Cy Snead in the 11th inning. He gives up one run. So the Astros trailing 2-1. They put Jack Mayfield. Jack Mayfield at second base for Michael Brantley to pinch run.
Bro, what are you talking about,
the man? One of the two guys that is hitting, Michael Brantley, gets pinch ran for. Stay tuned, because that would bite Dusty in the ass as well. Yuli Gurriel singles. Mayfield to third. First and third, no outs. The Sparkle Prince comes to the plate. The Sparkle Prince. Single down the line.
Oh, my God.
Game tied at two, J-Lo. Game tied at two. So Dusty gets another chance. Another chance with the runner on first and second. No outs.
Nobody out. Very key.
Another chance to bunt the winning run to third with one out. Now, I would have bunted with Altuve, but I can understand if you trust the 2017 MVP to swing the bat in the 10th. Coming to the plate for the Houston Astros, Toro. Abraham Toro comes to the plate. Not only did he come to the plate, he pinch hit Toro for Stubbs, who might have been a better bunter. He lets Toro swing instead of bunting. I say it one more time. Toro swings instead of bunting the winning run to third. He flies out to right. That's one out. Miles Straw comes to the plate. He grounds into a fielder's choice. George Springer then comes up, who pinch hit earlier. He strikes out looking. And Dusty Baker misses yet another opportunity. That's the bad news. The good news. Would the third time be a charm? Because Dusty gets a third chance to do the right thing. Cy Snead retires the Dodgers. Three up, three down. Kyle Tucker, top of the order, starting off for the Stros. Kyle Tucker strikes out looking. You don't bunt with Tuck. Altuve walks. Bregman flies out to center. And with a runner on first and second, two outs, Michael F. and Brantley was supposed to be at the plate, but it is Jack freaking Mayfield, because Dusty pinch hit Brantley. Mayfield strikes out looking. Damage done. 13th inning. Rios, two-run homer. Game over. Dodgers win 4-2. Dusty Baker cost the Astros the game. I got to say it one more time, J-Lo. Toro.
Now let's go back to the two key elements here that really make Dusty Baker look bad. He talked about, you know, maybe at home I'd do it. I've said I wouldn't do it at home or on the road if you have Miles Straw available, because he's such a blazing runner, and we saw it on display yesterday. He made May look bad when he got to first base, but he was in the lineup, obviously, because of what I just said, on that one play. So Kyle Tucker is on second base. Here comes Jose Altuve, okay? Here comes
He's
the guy.
Bunter. He's the best bunter on the team, I would say.
He is the best bunter on the team. You don't need a big inning. You don't. You need a run. That's all you need. You know, this isn't about analytics and crooked numbers and all that stuff. And nobody on that team, maybe Bregman and Brantley, the next two guys up, by the way, has better bat control than Jose Altuve. I want a guy with the best bat control bunting. Not because he can. Of course he can hit the ball. We know that. He's an MVP. But in that situation, when all you need is one run, you need bat control. You need a guy that can absolutely see the ball in the strike zone better than most, get the bat on the ball better than most, and by the way, as you just pointed out, bunt better than most. That's a huge, huge strike on Dusty right there. And then you come into the 11th, and first and second, nobody out. I don't care who's coming up, you're bunting. I don't care who it is.
He pinch hit Toro, and he said that Stubbs would have been a better bunter. Then leave him in. And if yes. Toro can't bunt, what the hell are you doing in the league? Like, honestly, what are you doing in the league? Like, you did this three times, Dusty, and the problem is this ain't some hindsight BS. We did whole segments on this strategy and how it should be played out. You had three chances, not one, not two, three chances to win the game. You were criticized heavily for the way that you manage games when the hire was made. I was sitting here chanting Dusty Baker. I was happy that the Astros brought in Dusty Baker. I thought he was the man for the job, but you can't waste performances like this. Again, Adam Spillane going to join us at 12:40. This is Adam Spillane talking to Dusty before the season about these types of situations.
Have you guys talked about how you might handle it at the beginning of the inning? Would you bunt with the guy at second base, or would you just play things out?
Well, possibly. It depends on who's coming up. You know, that's just like kicking a field goal and, you know, in football. But, you know, when they get the ball last, they can score a touchdown. So they can score, you know, two runs and beat you, even though you score a run. So you might do it as a home team.
Oh,
but
really?
You probably wouldn't do it, I don't think, as the visiting team.
All right, so he just said himself, J-Lo, this is what really frustrates me, because you know I'm the podium critic. You know I go into the lab. You know I'm hosting the postgame show, which a day off today. We'll get back into it tomorrow. So he just said himself, and it's common sense. He really didn't need to say it, but we got him on record saying there's a different mindset when you're the home team versus when you're the road team. He just said it himself.
Yeah.
Then yesterday, he wets the bed. Dusty wets the bed, cost the Astros the game, misses three opportunities to do the right effing thing, and he goes up there to the podium, and he says this. This is the I don't have a play, it's not my job moment
for yeah,
Dusty
is.
Baker that has me so effing fired up today after the Astros lose to the Dodgers.
Dusty, did you think about bunting with Toro after Correa tied the game in the 11th?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, with the hitters that we have here, I mean, who's up against Floro? Was it Altuve? You know, he wasn't up there to bunt it. No, I didn't think about that. You know, they didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Yeah, they didn't bunt because they were the road team. You said so yourself a few weeks ago that it's different when you're the road team and when you're the home team going for the win. So when you go up there, you get defensive and you say they didn't bunt, we didn't bunt. It doesn't matter because you're talking out of both ends. You know the situations are different. It's not the same thing because when the runner starts off in second in the top of the inning for the Dodgers, they're not guaranteed a win if they score a run. Your situation was different. You're on record saying it, Skip. You're on record saying it, Skip. And I'm not sitting here saying I'm selling on Dusty Baker and I'm punting on Dusty Baker. What I'm saying is there was a lot of emotions in this series. And this game could have gone a long way. The Astros winning that game yesterday with the effort they got from Javier would have gone a long way. Some games mean more than others over the course of a season. That's something that can get a team fired up and have them start believing in themselves after Justin Verlander's no longer there. You didn't retaliate to the Dodgers. You thought the best form of retaliation was to kick their ass at the juice box. You had the opportunity with a guy who left it all on the mound making his first big league start, and you went out there, and three times you screwed up a strategy that you were very aware of, and afterwards you go up there and try to make excuses and compare it to something that doesn't hold its weight when it comes to being compared to that. That was a terrible performance by Dusty Baker. I'm not going to sit here and punt on you, but I am going to say all the warnings I got from baseball guys who said this guy screws up in big game situations and he screws up in in-game situations, I'm taking those more into account because yesterday Dusty Baker screwed up. He cost the Astros the game.
Here's the other part that could have really gone a long way with Dusty in this one situation. He's still new to this clubhouse. Now, everybody in that clubhouse, don't get me wrong, they know Dusty Baker is a legend. I mean, he's a true OG. They respect the heck out of him. You know, I think they by and large across the board love Dusty Baker. But there's going to be some guys looking around going, man, why didn't we bunt there? You know, and I think some of the guys that are going to be doing that are some of the bigger names could have gone a long way in that clubhouse too.
I mean, there are times when Jose Altuve would bunt on his own for a hit. Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know that this team's very smart. I mean, I really don't know that this is a very smart baseball team. I think they've been better than everybody, but I don't know that they're a very smart team. I don't know that they understand situational hitting. I really don't. And you know, it goes back to the World Series last year. I mean, you saw it in Game 3 this year in the sixth inning when they lost by one to the Mariners, the only game they dropped to the Mariners. Reddick starts out the sixth inning with a leadoff triple.
Yeah.
And Altuve, Bregman, they fail to Springer, Altuve, Bregman fail to knock in the run. I mean, they don't understand situational hitting. They don't have a sense of the moment. And the best way to work in that situation is to bunt the runner over time. Dusty Baker, I love you, but you're getting the Bill O'Brien treatment. That was terrible. It was terrible during. It was even worse after. Get it together, because that ain't just one loss. That win could have gone a long, long way.
Yeah.
And you cost him the game. You cost him the game, J-Lo. He cost him the damn game.
Yeah, this one is the one that is – you said it, and it's 100% accurate. This is the I-don't-have-a-play moment. It came early in his tenure here, which is not a good sign. I think it might affect how some people think about his strategy skills in that clubhouse. But beyond that, I think that's the bad one. The other one on third base in the sixth inning, I mean, that's arguable either way, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. 100%. And you know what? The good news is we get to criticize managers, so sports back. The bad news is this was an uppercut to the junk.
We're criticizing manager, the Houston manager.
That's the bad news. That's the uppercut to the junk. We'll get a 10% because the season is 10% complete, 10% progress report with Adam Spillane. But coming up, speaking of the Stros, we are 6 weeks away from Texans Chiefs. There's some decisions that need to be made by the Texans. And there's some decisions that need to be made by the Astros. Are those decisions becoming more clear with what we've seen the first six games? Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
What do you say to all those naysayers out there that says that maybe the forearm strain is a precursor to him having Tommy John surgery?
Well, I don't say nothing to him in the first place. I'm trying to figure out where, you know, like who released it and, you know, where did it come from, you know, because that's poor journalism to release something before, you know, it actually happens. Everybody's trying to get the jump on everybody. Everybody's trying to be Jimmy Olsen instead of just letting it, come to fruition. And it's almost like some people are happy about it, you know, on their side and close to us. So I don't say a whole bunch of those, you know, those kind of people, because those are the same people that's, you know, it's made it difficult on me in my life. So I don't give them any of my time and energy too much.
Good question from Big Sarge. Who's Jimmy Olsen, J-Lo?
He's the reporter from Superman.
Okay. Yeah, no idea. Had no idea. Learn something new every day. You heard Dusty there talk about poor journalism. Well, that was poor managing yesterday, what I saw yesterday. And we're getting a lot of people on the text line. Shout out to the Loopholes. I love talking to the Loopholes no matter what you do. You give us your time 10 to 2, whether it's 15 minutes, where it's the whole damn show. We love you, and we very much appreciate you. But it's not just one game, man. Like, sometimes it's more than a game. Like, when Justin Verlander was supposed to be on the mound yesterday and instead you had to send a kid out there and he gives you what he gave you and you use multiple relievers for multiple innings and you have a chance to beat a Dodgers team that went headhunting for you earlier on in that game and instead of retaliating, you just tried to beat them and you came up short because of boneheaded decisions. That's not just a game, John, because think about it. Every time we talk about a season and every time you talk to a coach, and you've been covering sports for a long, long time, every time you talk to a coach over the course of a season, they have that one moment they point to where they can say, this is where the team came together, and this is where we knew that this was going to be a year, a special year, and we were going to go on a run. What better moment than yesterday, without Justin Verlander, a night after everything went down, where Alex Bregman showed an uncanny amount of discipline, where the entire country was basically celebrating someone throwing at your guys' head against one of the best teams in baseball, what better moment to turn around a season and be able to point to when it's all said and done and say, you know what, that's where it came together. This was an opportunity. This was a huge missed opportunity. You can minimize it and say it's just one game, but I truly believe that winning that game would have been an opportunity for the Astros to have that moment that we would look back at after the season was over and say that's where we knew that this team would be able to dig down deep without their ace and everything and get the win. That was not just a game to me.
No, it wasn't to me either. Because it was the Dodgers, because of what happened the day before, and because you in essence said, let's just all shut up and play ball and win the game, and then you didn't. Not only did you not win the game, your manager cost you the game. You can talk about all the other things, you know, the butterfly effect and all the other things that coulda, shoulda, woulda before that moment. But in those two moments, I should say, in those two moments, it was about Dusty Baker's decision-making, and he lost you the game. And people, I get everyone is playing 60 games. Everyone in Major League Baseball is playing, well, except for the Marlins so far, you know, are scheduled to play 60 games. But I talk about, you know, it was like losing three. The value of that win was like getting swept in a 162-game season. So if you go back, you know, in a 162-game season and say, you know, if it wasn't for those three games that Dusty Baker blew, because that's the value of this one, maybe we'd be, you know, the American League, you know, leading the American League going into the playoffs, or have the seed we want, or whatever it may be. You know, don't look now, but, you know, we all keep saying the Astros are going to make the playoffs, and I still believe they will. But in this division, it's bunched, and they're not hitting, and they've lost Verlander, I think we all believe, for the year. Zach Greinke's not pitching very well. Their bullpen is a mess. I mean, it was an important game, man.
It was very important, and it was a missed opportunity. You can say just one game, and I'm sure that's what Dusty should say to his team, but it was a massive missed opportunity, and if he wants to figure out why, all he's got to do is look in the mirror, because Dusty Baker cost him yesterday.
Yep.
In the next 2 years, J-Lo, Landry Locker, John Lopez with you here on Sports Radio 610. Next 2 years, the Astros are going to have to make some financial decisions. And I don't think that they have a blank check from Jim Crane anymore. So I don't think bringing back everybody is an option. But as you look at what's going on right now, and you look at the people that are going to be free agents after this year, Michael Brantley, George Springer, Josh Reddick, if I asked you right now to decide on either Michael Brantley or George Springer, and you got to keep in mind, Brantley's about 2 years older, but he's going to be cheaper. Which would you decide? And you have to make this decision knowing that Carlos Correa, who's in his mid-20s, is going to be a free agent a year after that.
I think that's a great, great question. I think you go with the better hitter. And you know who that is? That's Michael Brantley. He's the better hitter.
So you're going Michael Brantley over George Springer, no questions asked.
At this point. He's older, you said it. But, man, that guy can just – he just hits the ball. He just crushes the ball.
The thing about Brantley is he's a left-handed bat. He's going to be cheaper. I think Springer's going to get a lot of money. And you do have Miles Straw and Kyle Tucker on the team. So I'm with you. I think Correa is the guy that you prioritize. But at this point, even if Springer, I mean, I think Springer's going to get high. Don't get me wrong. George Springer's, we're going to see good George Springer. I promise.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't about just what we've seen right now. But if you told me Michael Brantley's going to be cheaper, he's a little bit older, and you have to decide between that and Correa is the real decision, because Correa is the one who's going to demand the $30 million or whatever per year. I think Brantley and then trying to sign Correa when Verlander and Greinke go off the books would be the decision that I would make. Now, you want to see more from Tuck, and you'd probably like to see a little bit more from Miles Straw out there in the outfield, but I think that's where I'm leaning right now.
You know, when you compare their numbers, and I'm not even talking Brantley at his absolute best, because he's had, you know, back in Cleveland, as Figgy, you well know, I mean, he's had 200 hit seasons. You know, he's had, you know, 40 and 45 doubles and practically 100 RBI. I mean, I'm talking about just the last 4 years. If you just look
he's
at
an
the
all-star.
Last four, he was an all-star. He was a stud. But just look at the last 4 years. Brantley's numbers are actually better than Springer's. Springer's a hero. He's the World Series MVP. But over the last 4 years, Brantley's numbers are better. Now, he's 2 years older, 3 years older, whatever it is. But that's a fact. I mean, that you can look it up.
I think the importance of Springer is second to none. I think when he's right, whenever Springer's right, the whole
streaky
team is right. The whole team is right, though, when he's humming.
Yeah.
When he's humming, the whole team's humming. But it really just comes down to price. And Springer's going to be expensive. I mean, he's about to be 31 years old in September. He's going to be expensive. I think if Jim Crane's looking at the checkbook, and you also got to keep in mind Greinke and Verlander probably going to be gone in two seasons as well. I think Brantley's the guy that going to be a little bit more affordable. And then you're going to have to decide on Carlos Correa. It's interesting to see. I mean, we're seeing the development of the arms. Be interesting to see what kind of decisions, financial decisions, Jim Crane makes when the season's over. But that's neither here nor there because we still got 90% of the season left, J-Lo. 90%,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, we do.
90%. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien, meeting with the media in 3.5 hours. You're going to hear that on Clint Sterner and Ron the Show, Hughley's show. What does the OG want to hear from Easterby and B.O.B. 6 weeks away from the game in Kansas City? And Adam Spillane, smartest baseball mind in town of Sports Radio 610, is going to give a 10% report card for the Astros next.
Max Life at TJ Maxx.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien meeting with the media 3.5 hours. Adam Spillane going to give us a 10% Astros report in just a sec, 10% through the season. But the two most powerful men at NRG going to be messing with the Zoom at 4 o'clock. What do you want to hear from these two cats, J-Lo?
I think more than anything, I want to know about personnel. I want to know, and you've heard Big Voice Guy talk about it on the promos, too. That is a very, very important question. Has anybody opted out? Have you heard any conversations? What are your feelings about, you know, how you're going to prepare with no preseason? And certainly with the hoops you got to jump through just to stay safe. And then after that, I want to hear about some of the things that we've actually, like some of the football things that we've actually seen happen, you know, losing guys, you know, in the defensive front, some of the feelings that he has on how he's going to use the players that have been new to the team. David John, I know he's addressed that a little bit, but now that they're in close to the season, and then also just how he feels about, you know, the off season that he didn't have contact with the players. Now, from Jack Easterby's perspective, I think I want to hear about some of the cap information that is certainly going to be coming down the pike, and how they're preparing for the season from the technical standpoint.
I mean, they've been doing all kinds of stuff technical. Quite honestly, that stuff doesn't really interest me that much.
What are you looking for?
The formation of the strike. Now, I'm not talking about like everything you said. I'm just talking about like the new cleaning supplies and all
that.
No.
I'm not talking about that. Like, just, you know, how are they going to manage coaching these guys and, you know, putting them through, getting them ready for a season with all the hoops they have to jump through?
Yeah,
you know?
I want to hear B.O.B. talk about – I want to hear him talk about, you know, the different position units. I want to hear how he feels about this offense. How are guys – picking up the offense? What about the defense? What about the first-year coordinators? You got Anthony Weaver, and you got Tim Kelly. I want to hear him give you like a taste of how smooth the process has been as far as preparation. Does he feel like this team's ready for the Chiefs? He's going to have to answer questions as a GM as well. What about the salary cap potentially dropping? We didn't forecast that. We were talking about like a 40% dip or whatever. How does
right,
that
that's
impact
what I'm talking
things?
From Easterby, the cap stuff and how that's going to affect them.
I wonder what Easterby is going to have to say, because Easterby, if you talk to people in the know, Easterby's been very, very active when it comes to the formatics of the stadium and all that type of stuff. I don't know when that guy sleeps, honestly. I really don't know when Jack Easterby sleeps.
He's pretty tightly wound, man.
Just do the next right thing.
What does Jack Easterby in Frozen 2? What's her name? The one from Frozen?
I don't know.
Is it Belle? No, Belle is from something else.
Belle is from Beauty and the Beast.
Elsa. Yeah. Is it Elsa?
Elsa?
No.
It might be Elsa.
We're going to get destroyed on the text line.
Jack Easterby quoted Frozen 2. For those of you asking why Frozen 2 is coming into play. But
it's that just, is Elsa.
It is Elsa. Yeah. 6 weeks, man. That just seems kind of crazy when you think about 6 weeks being the target for when the season does start. I guess maybe it's just because of your mental clock, because when baseball starts, you typically you have a little while for some football. But you look at the clock, and it's 6 weeks from today. It's supposed to be a little Thursday night football between the Texans and the Chiefs, and you have baseball going on. You realize there's going to be 60 games of baseball. Our minds are kind of adjusting to what we're looking at and what we're watching right now with sports. When you see 6 weeks, that just seems somewhat crazy to imagine.
I'm looking forward to the day when I watch Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL all the same day or the same weekend.
You're going to get to do that. Yeah, you're going to get to do that. It's very possible. And you're going to get to watch basketball tonight. Zion on the floor probably for the Pelicans. And I keep hearing, you know, the NBA wants Zion to be in the playoffs. So do I. Like, I mean, like, what is that even supposed to mean? I keep hearing that. Well, the NBA just wants Zion. So do I.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that that's just an NBA thing.
No, it's not. And isn't it funny how it worked out that Zion's going to be the first taste that we all get of the NBA when they count?
I'm telling you, the Pelicans are good, though.
Yeah, they are.
If he hadn't gotten hurt, they would be in that eighth spot. I think they got to get within 3.5 games of the eight to have a playing game. But Pelicans ain't no joke. You're going to get a taste of that today. They're going to be facing the Utah Jazz. So NBA starts 5:30 tonight, doubleheader on TNT. Haven't been able to watch hoops in a while, so you're going to get to watch that. You're going to get to watch the Rockets tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And something else that's crazy as we talk about just the uncertainty of sports viewing and the unfamiliarity with it. Games are going to start tomorrow at 1:30 up to 8. Rockets are going to be the final game against the Mavs. They're not going to have Eric Gordon. Big game for the Rockets, because if they lose, they're a half game out of falling to that 7 seed, which would mean you face the Clippers in the first round. But 1:30 to 8 NBA games tomorrow. I'm telling you, the on-air product as to what it looks like on the TV screen, second to none.
Yeah.
It looks amazing on the TV screen, and today we get a taste of it.
There's some parts of it that are actually better. I don't know what it is. It strikes you funny, right? It's just like, no, this is really cool. Maybe it's just the newness and the, you know, of it, the difference of it.
It is the difference of it. It's the uncertainty, and I think it could also just be the fact that it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just the fact that it's on the screen adds to it. So I think that's probably really where the enjoyment for me comes out of it. I didn't enjoy that Astros game last night, though. 10% through the season. 3-3 Astros. They get the day off today, much needed day off. They're going to go face the Angels tomorrow. Sports Radio 610 reporter Adam Spillane about to join us. Give us a little bit of a 10% progress report, if you will. Let's go to the phones now. Talk to Adam of SportsRadio610.com. Adam, give me the most positive things that you've seen from the Astros 10% through the season, the things that we should feel best about.
So I think I've got about three or four of them. First, Carlos Correa is healthy and he's playing really well. So that's one. Two, Lance McCullers said that he felt the best that he's ever felt after his first start, which I was curious at how that would go when you consider that he's coming off Tommy John surgery and hadn't thrown over 90 pitches in quite some time. So that's a big positive. And then you've seen some of these rookie pitchers really step up and do a nice job. I thought Christian Javier was obviously very good last night. We saw Blake Taylor come in and get big outs in that game as well, and his first couple of outings were very good. I know Nolan Paredes wasn't very good against the Dodgers on Tuesday night, but I thought his first couple of outings were fine. So obviously the big negatives are that their stars, for the most part, have not come through. But I do think, I mean, they're 3-3. They're still tied for first place in the West. I don't think the West is going to be great this season. So it still feels like they are, without question, the favorites to win that division.
All right, so Christian Javier, man, what a waste that was yesterday. It just looked fantastic. But let's talk about why it was a waste. You asked the question well in advance of the game about what would you do in this. We played the audio today, and then you asked him again about it. It just boggles the mind that with that kind of bat control at the plate that you're not bunting in those situations. So what were your big takeaways from Dusty's response?
I think that with the bunting and extra innings, I think that's just the way you're seeing it play out league-wide. And for all the extra inning games that we've seen so far this season, and it hasn't been a great number. I think it's probably around 5 or 6, but I believe there's only been one sacrifice bunt. And I just don't think you're going to see it very often. I think that's where analytics come into play. And I kind of want to know from Dusty tomorrow how his thinking has changed on this. If this rule would have been instituted 20 years ago, is this an automatic bunt for everyone? And now you're seeing where no one's doing it. And frankly, I don't have a problem with not bunting. I don't have a problem with not wanting to waste an out, especially, and it depends on where you're at in the order, but I don't have an issue with not having Jose Altuve bunt. It's Jose Altuve. Let him swing away. Same thing with Bregman or anybody else.
See, I'm on the total opposite end. I know Landry is as well. This isn't about getting a big inning. It's just getting one run, man. I mean, just get one run. And Jose Altuve, I argue, and I think some managers have argued in the past that I've talked with anyway, that you want the guy with the best bat control bunting, not somebody who doesn't have, you know, maybe he's new to the game or a part-time starter or something. I absolutely believe that Altuve would have been the perfect guy to bunt there.
But here's the thing, too. Are your chances better of getting the – because you only need the one run. Are your chances better of getting the one run in if you get three shots with Altuve, Bregman, Brantley, or if you are basically putting your eggs in the one basket of Bregman? And then if Bregman doesn't reach, then you get Brantley. So by not bunting, you get three shots at it. If you bunt, you get two shots. Now, obviously, the first shot, you have a better chance than the second. The math says that you do have a slightly better chance of scoring the run if you bunt, but it's not real significant.
But it also, that's my thing. He's at third base as opposed to second base. Huge difference.
But the advantage is taken away, though, if the guy who comes up next doesn't get the run in. And so you're basically taking away one chance of getting the run in by having the guy bunt. So that chance basically falls on the guy who comes up next.
What about, Dusty, with you talking to Sports Radio 610's Adam Spillane, who was at the Juice Box for the first six games? But what about the fact that yesterday when you talked to Dusty, he said, well, they didn't bunt, we didn't bunt. Well, you yourself, I mean, it's common sense, but he himself said that it's different when you're the home team versus the road team. To me, that was Bill O'Brien-like, honestly. Like, and I'm just being fair. Because if Bill O'Brien had said that after he said, you know, that it's much different when you're at home and on the way, and then cited, well, they didn't bunt, we didn't bunt, the situations are different. So I don't understand why he acknowledged that he would consider it and then decided not to three times, and then he all of a sudden he's talking about, well, they didn't do it, so we didn't do it.
Yeah, it did feel like he was trying to give himself an out, where he's basically saying, well, they didn't bunt, they're a really smart team, we didn't bunt, we're a smart team, too. That's kind of what it felt like to me. It was odd, though. I was surprised that he did invoke them, because like he even brought up before the season started, it's very different when you're the home team and when you're the road team.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't have a huge problem with him not doing it. In most cases, I wouldn't do it either. The one time where I probably would have done it would have been with Toro, or in that stub spot if you don't pinch hit for stuff after Correa ties the game. I think that's the one time when you probably would do it. I don't like the idea of taking the bat out of Jose Altuve's hands, especially when you have the intentional walk in play. And we did see them walk Bregman intentionally at some point, and we saw Brantley roll into a double play at 1.2 during extra innings. So I think there's a lot of things that you have to factor into this.
All right, so Dusty got a little bit perturbed about Chandler Rome's report that Verlander was going to be out. But then James Click said it's too early to tell if he's going to play this year. I mean, what's going on over there?
I think it's a forearm strain. It's one of those things where they took an MRI. The MRI revealed, I guess, forearm strain. And I think they just want to give him a couple weeks to see how he feels. They'll probably run another MRI after that just to see how things look with the forearm and with the elbow. And then you go from there. So I think that certainly Verlander isn't healthy. I don't think anyone would try and tell you that he is. But I do think that they want to wait and see how he feels in a couple of weeks, or now I guess 10 days or so, before they make an actual decision.
What do you think about the struggles of George Springer? It's really, I mean, we've seen this before. It just seems like it's getting a little bit more attention than just the typical slump right now with George Springer. Maybe the contract year and everything
is coming into play. But what do you think about George Springer's struggles?
It could be contract year. It could be the fact that he just didn't see a lot of live pitching during summer camp. Remember, Dusty Baker said before the season that during spring training, in a normal spring training, you're trying to get your guys 40 at-bats before opening day. And I believe Springer probably had half of that. And he had a couple – he had the one workout day where he wasn't allowed to participate because of a delayed test result. So those were at-bats that he could have gotten against big league-type pitching. I just think it's having not seen live pitching – and that goes for everyone. That goes for Bregman. It goes for Altuve. That goes for Gurriel. I just think you haven't seen a lot of live pitching. You also just faced a really good team. I think you can't forget how good the Dodgers and that Dodgers pitching staff actually is. And I just think it's early and you give it some time. I do wonder, though. I do think that you could see him pressing a little bit. I mean, it's a big year for him. This is a chance for him to go out and get the massive contract. This is a big reason why you play the game. It's to have a chance to get the six-figure contract, and he's got that opportunity, and I'm sure he's probably thinking about it a little bit.
That's our Astros insider, Adam Spillane. I contend that the equivalent of a 22-game suspension for Kelly, the 8 games in a 60-game season, is the best news the Astros could have gotten regarding anyone coming at them this year, because already pitchers and players around the league are getting paid less. You lose 8 games out of 60, and obviously, you know, that's going to be some fines and suspensions and less salary. I think there's going to be a lot of players that are much more reluctant to be coming at the Astros. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me correct myself. I said 6 figures for Springer. I meant 9 figures for Springer.
Yeah.
Sign him up. Sign him lifetime.
No, I do think that Rob Manfred and MLB sent a message to everyone around the league. We're saying this isn't. We're not doing this all season long. We're not going to make this a story every single night. If you do, then you're going to pay for it dearly, and you're already missing out on 2/3 of your salary just about. And if you do this, then that's just going to knock off even more. I think that Joe Kelly, obviously he's appealing. I do think the suspension would get reduced by a game or two. But even still, even if you get 6 games for something like that, that's 10% of the salary that you're missing this season. That's significant, especially for, Joe Kelly makes decent money, obviously. But if you get some of these younger relievers, I think they obviously would not want to do it because they're not making as much. And I do think that you'll see the penalties maybe even get more severe, because what happened with Kelly? Kelly did what he did. The bench is clear. And that's a big problem for Major League Baseball. They don't want dugouts clearing. They don't want a bunch of guys out on the field because of the risk that poses with COVID. And we already have one breakout in Major League Baseball with the Marlins. The Phillies are going through an issue now, and they've had to postpone their entire series this weekend with the Blue Jays. That's after having all their games postponed already this week. So they're already in a little bit of a tough spot. And if you start throwing at the Astros, there's a good chance that benches start clearing and we deal with something else. So I think this is Rob Manfred saying this ends right here, right now. We're getting it out of the way week one.
Talking to Astros reporter, Sports Radio 610, Adam Spillane. He's been at every Astros game this season. Big day today, Adam. Big day tomorrow, too. You hear the music? You hear it? You also do a little bit of Rockets work yourself? How you feeling about the Rockets one day before? They're big, and I mean, this is a big game tomorrow at 8 o'clock against the Mavs without Eric Gordon. How should we feel about the Rockets? And on top of that, would you rather face the Lakers or the Clippers in the second round if you were Mike D'Antoni?
Well, let me start with the Dallas game. I think that of all the games that they have on the schedule in Orlando, this might be the biggest, because I do think there's a lot of significance to staying out of the 7th seed. And they're only a game and a half up on Dallas for that 7th seed, because you would rather face Denver, Utah, Oklahoma City in the first round as opposed to the Lakers and Clippers in the first round. So right off the bat, I think this is their biggest game. It depends on who you'd rather play between Lakers and Clippers. I think it depends on who's playing for both of those teams. And you look at the Clippers, it seems like half their roster is either not in Orlando, or they are having to quarantine because they decided to go get wings.
Eating wings, baby.
I do think if both teams are fully healthy, if I'm the Rockets, I'd probably rather play the Lakers, because the Lakers can't really downsize against them the way that the Clippers can. And we've already seen the Rockets go and beat the Lakers while playing small ball. And they played the Clippers playing small ball, and the Clippers ran them out of their own gym. So if it's me, I'd probably rather play the Lakers in round two, even though they have the best two players in the entire series.
I see you. Adam, I appreciate you, man. Enjoy your day off. Enjoy your day off, man. Go relax.
I'll try.
Try to get some wings. Try to get some strip club wings for us. Let us know how they taste.
I might just drive to Atlanta.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Adam Spillane, thank you very much, man. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
It's my guy, Adam Spillane, right there. SportsRadio610.com reporter. Knows everything about everything in sports, if we're really being honest.
He knows everything about everything.
I mean, I could ask him to back up catcher for single A, and he would tell me. He knows what's up. He disagreed with us on the strategy, though.
And that's fine. I just don't see it in that one situation. I don't see it.
Here we go. Fade this up a little bit, Fig. Okay. That's a money shot right there, baby. Yes. I don't know why they started doing Kung Fu randomly in this video. I don't get it. What's up with that?
That was weird.
Hey, do you think he ever had Magic City wings, Figgy?
I'm sure he did.
He did? Yeah. Oh, what do you mean, dude?
I'm sure he did.
What do you mean, dude? Race car!
I mean, it is a black strip club, so.
Basketball, baby. Basketball starts in less than 5 hours. Zion on your TV screen. Rocket's going to be ready in about 8. But you know what else is going to happen before all that, John?
What's that?
Jack and Bill are
going
to speak.
Jack and Bill are going up the hill.
Jack and Bill went up the hill to fetch a guy right for the team. We'll talk about what we want to hear from them.
Oh, I thought you were going to finish it. No, I thought you were going to freestyle. I thought you were going to freestyle on Jack and Bill.
I'll do that after the break. Just give me a second. I got you. All right. Around the NFL and a Jack and Bill freestyle next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.